So today on the AI-powered thought leader, I'm going to be speaking with a true thought leader in marketing. He is an expert in personal branding, marketing strategy. He's a keynote speaker. He is an educator, a true best-selling author in the real sense of many books, all of which I have. And he's somebody who I'm really delighted to kind of dig into this concept of this inherent contradiction of authenticity and personal brand and using AI as a thought leader.
Welcome to the AI-powered thought leader. This is the show that helps thought leaders and aspiring thought leaders to explore the challenges and contradictions that occur at the intersection of AI and authentic thought leadership. Here is your host, Alistair McDermott.
And today, I'm delighted to say that my guest is Mark Schaefer. Mark, you're very welcome. It's so great to talk to you again.
Yeah, I loved your little intro video. That's impressive. It's beautiful. Nicely done.
Thanks. And this, you know, everything that you saw and heard there was created with AI in one morning. And I think that kind of cuts straight to the power of the flexibility and the power of these tools helping us to create content. And that's really what we're talking about here today. You are an expert in personal branding and marketing strategy. And I think it's fair to say that authenticity is probably one of the pillars of personal branding. And I'm really interested to dig into how you think about AI when it comes to using AI for things like helping us to write and create as thought leaders.
Yeah. Wow. It's such a remarkable and interesting subject, and something that I've been thinking about a lot. And the first thing that comes to mind is a few years ago, I got to interview Walter Isaacson. Walter Isaacson is the great author. He just wrote the Elon Musk book, but he's written books on geniuses. He did Einstein and Steve Jobs and Leonardo da Vinci. And I got to sit down and talk to him one time. I said, "What makes a genius?" He said, "Two things." He said, "One is insatiable curiosity. And number two, an ability to connect the dots in a new way." So I think you could sort of like put that same characteristic onto thought leadership. And so now we have sort of a framework to think about, okay, how does that apply to AI? AI can certainly help with the curiosity part. This is how I use AI all the time. The one I've been using mostly, I use Perplexity a lot. Now they're starting to show ads, so I'm not sure where I'm going to go with that. But I've been using Claude 3 to help with research. And I spend a lot of my time alone. I have an office in the woods. And unless I'm traveling, I spend a lot of time thinking and writing alone. So Claude 3 and other AI tools have been my companion to help bounce ideas and help me with this exploration. Now, let's talk about connecting the dots part. I've been working on a new book, and this is a revision of an older book I wrote in 2014 called Social Media Explained. I did a second revision in 2018, and my publisher thought, well, it's time to do it again. And of course, in the AI world, it's all new. Now, when I write a book, it takes everything out of me. It is a completely exhausting process. Literally, even physically, I'm ill by the time I'm done with this book because I become so obsessed. Now I'm in this age of AI. So I thought, look, there's got to be a better way that I can write a book in a more efficient way. I'm going to embrace every tool I can to help me write this book. And I did. And the result was a complete flop.
Interesting.
Because it wasn't connecting the dots. Because the way AI works, at least now, is you put in a query or you give it a challenge, and it's like a puppy dog. It wants to please you. It goes out, it scurries, and it looks at all the millions of data points and everything that's happened in the past and comes up with the most probable way to please you. So it's coming up with this best average answer of the past. And that makes for a lousy book. If you want the best average of the past, just go to Google. That's what that is for. A book, and I think thought leadership, is about connecting the dots in your way that leverages your history, your experience, your perspective, your education, your connection, where you've been, what you've done, who you know. And it's my stories. It's applying an idea and saying, well, this is what this means to me. This is how I interpret this. It's, you know, a great book is about revelations. A revelation is a lesson. It's something I learned. It's something I want to teach you, because look, I went through this and I don't want you to go through this. Or I had this victory and I hope you have this victory. Or, you know, it's just like you starting out saying, okay, you know, let's connect the dots between AI and thought leadership. It's very, very complicated. I'm giving you a very personal answer, which is unique based on, and we'll continue to talk about this, I'm sure, just revelations I had. This is I'm talking about a revelation I had while writing this book. It wasn't me. It wasn't my stories. It wasn't my humor. It was just bland and awful. And so it didn't work. I was able to use it for some research. I was able to use it to fill in the blanks sometimes. Like maybe I'll say, oh, well, to do this, you need to do these five things. Maybe ChatGPT found a sixth or seventh thing I needed to add. But really, the book is me. It had to be. And I think my lesson, Alistair, in this example, is that I still matter. Is at least right now, even in this AI drenched world we're in, I still matter.
If you see me looking down, I'm furiously taking notes because there's so much in what you just said there that I want to dig into. I think one of the key points here you're talking about is the personal stories and the uniqueness that each of us has as an individual. I think that's really important, that that's something that AI cannot currently create. The other thing is there is an interesting process that goes on in the brain when we write that actually helps us to think. So writing and editing our own work actually helps us with our thinking process. I think that's one of the most important reasons. I think that's one of the most important reasons we should write. And then
writing also, it also teaches us. So, if I answer a question for you, a week or a month later, I might not remember it. I might not think about it. But when you're writing, you're sort of creating your legacy. And especially if you're writing for the public, if you're writing a blog post, if you're writing a book, if you're giving a speech. And so it forces you to internalize it. You know, it forces you to really understand it. So when I write a book, it's like getting a master's degree. It takes me 2 years of research and writing to complete a book. That's like a master's degree. I like my latest book is on brand communities. When I started, I was not an expert in brand communities. I had a thesis. I had a framework. I had ideas. But then I spent 2 years getting it right. And now I am an expert on brand communities because I wrote this book. So and now it's something I can help people with. It's something I can teach people. It's something I can consult with, right? So writing, the process of writing creates a new competency.
That's a wonderful way of articulating that. This whole concept, I think this is one of the strongest arguments for continuing to write yourself. But there are some things that it is great for, and you mentioned some of those, like research and brainstorming and ideation. Like you mentioned, like if you've got a list of five things, what's six and seven that I might have forgotten? How do you feel about using AI to help you brainstorm when you're supposed to be the expert, when you're supposed to be the thought leader, and you're claiming credit for writing something, but AI actually came up with two of those seven things? How do you feel about that?
You know, I think we're still trying to figure that out. You know, and the analogy that I use is we had the same arguments in the 1980s when we started to use calculators. We started to use calculators, and in school, they said, that's cheating. You can't use a calculator. That's cheating. You need to declare that you're using a calculator. You know, you have to learn how to do long form math. Now, I probably haven't done long form math in 40 years, and I'm perfectly happy about that. The automation of math is in everything. It's in e-commerce. It's, you know, it's in the program we use to do our taxes, right? And so it surrounds us like the air that we breathe. We don't feel like we're cheating. We don't feel like we need to declare something. And this is what's going to happen with AI. And it's becoming embedded, you know, in everything. Innovation is basically applying a layer of AI to all of our tasks. Now, what's the line where you cheat? You know, so I wrote a blog post about this, about like, when do you cross the Milli Vanilli line? You know, when are you getting, you know, what's the, you know, if you use auto-tuning when you sing a song, everybody embraces that. A lot of people sort of accept that if you see a performer, you know, at a parade or a festival, maybe they'll be lip-syncing their own song because of, you know, the environment or the technology or something, but you still embrace that. But at some point, you become Milli Vanilli, where you're not just getting an assist, you're an outright fake. And I think that line, we're still sort of navigating that. It hasn't really been an issue for me because I'm fairly prolific writer. At least I blog every week. And for me, I just have so many ideas I want to get out into the world that it's faster and more efficient for me just to write my ideas than to use ChatGPT. And so on my blog posts, at least when I remember to do it, I put a little badge that says 100% human content, just to assure people this is me. You know, I didn't use anything else. I want to assure you that, you know, these are my own ideas. So for me, it really hasn't been an issue. You know, I guess at some point, if I would use AI as an assist, you know, I might declare that. The one place where I did use AI is in this new book that I wrote. It's Social Media Explained 3.0. It's the third edition of the book. I didn't use AI in the book, but I used AI voice synthesis to narrate the book. I believe this might be the first voice synthesis narrated business book. I don't know absolutely, but it's definitely one of the first, if not the first. I trained, you know, 11 labs on my voice. I sent it to my traditional audio editor for the audiobook. She said, wow, this is really, you know, pretty amazing. It's pretty great. I had to record a few things where it stumbled. There were some times in the audio narration where it suddenly would change to a different language inexplicably. So I had to do those parts over. But I declared that, You know, I declared it in the audiobook. I declared that even in the paper book, explained that I used it that way. I'm working on a new book for 2025. One of the ways AI has helped me with this book is to discover examples and case studies. That can be very time-consuming work to come up with good case studies. So I might ask for an example of something in business. It might give me 10 ideas, and maybe there's like one I can use. Now, I still have to research and write that case study, but at least it, you know, did the detective work, kind of led me down the right path. Do I declare that? I don't know. I haven't thought about it yet. So I think we're still kind of navigating. But my goal is to be, you know, transparent about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it's interesting. The example you gave of having to declare that you were using a calculator. I mean, I would be horrified, for example, if my accountant, if I discovered that my accountant wasn't using spreadsheets and accounting software, you know,
but there's no difference. They're really, yeah.
I think the thing is claiming credit. Like, when do we, you know, claim credit? Because we put our name on the outside now. And for the audience, like Mark, I think you've published 12 books so far or so around that. And you've written, you know, thousands probably blog posts. But your name is on the outside of every one of your books. And so do we now, like, if we use AI, so for example, we can use AI to do spelling and grammar checks. Right, yeah. Very simple, and replace it.
Oh, great example. Great example. That's AI.
We can also ask it to bridge between two sections that we have difficulty bridging between two concepts. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to get from there to here, but I know they're related. Can you give me some suggestions on how to do that?
Yeah.
Now, that's a little bit more advanced.
Yeah.
And then we can also do things like, for example, I quite often narrate and record while I'm driving on a topic. And then I will take that and put that into AI. Mm. And I'll say, can you reword this as a blog post?
Oh, nice.
Now, what that's doing is it's taking my original thinking,
yeah,
but it's actually doing the writing. Like, it's changing the wording to make me sound better, to make me sound more articulate, to make it flow better from place to place, yeah, and maybe even to make it more popular in terms of how well that blog post might do for search engine optimization or for a social media audience. Yeah. And so every step down that road we go, I feel like, you know, do we declare this? Do we say, like, was that me that wrote that? If you know, do I say that I wrote this? Am I claiming that I wrote it if my name is on the outside of the book? I think that's the bit that we have yet to figure out. And I think that in the case of thought leadership, because we are thought leaders and we are hired for our thinking, we're hired for our suggestions. And then when we think about this concept of authenticity, mm-hmm, like, we need people to trust us and to trust our thinking. And if they're not sure if we wrote something,
yeah,
if our potential clients aren't sure if we wrote it, you know, that's where this gets into fraught territory for me, where, like, I'm not sure where we're going with this, which is why I love bringing people like you on to chat about it.
Yeah.
What do you think about all that?
Well, you know, again, I think we still are figuring this out. But the analogy that kind of comes to my mind is, I have a friend who is literally one of the most brilliant men I've ever known. He is just one of the greatest visionaries. He's a great thought leader. And by his own admission, he cannot write his way out of a paperback. I mean, he is just, it's just something about his brain. He just doesn't think in that way, where he can really construct sentences in a good linear fashion. And so using something like AI can help unleash a new level of productivity and creativity for him. And it's almost like he's still driving the car. Now, you might have things on the car that help you navigate. You might have things on the car, you know, to help keep you in the lane and to help get you to the destination in a safe way. Do you need to declare that? if you're still driving the car. You know, in the case of my friend, who is just really just a genius, he's driving the car. These are his ideas. These are his vision. And if he can have some AI assist to keep him in the lane so that he can explain it even better, you know, I just think that's amazing. And it, maybe it's a, it, it gets down at the end of the day to your, you know, a value system or, you know, what you feel right, you know, ethically sort of declaring. I mean, I sort of just in my business, I just have this kind of like lily white approach to ethics where I don't want to do anything that even could even appear like it's unethical. And so I'll declare anything and everything so that people know that this is really me and this is really how I stand on something. But other people might be different. You know, in the case of my friend, which I think is sort of similar to, you know, what you're trying to tease out of me, he's driving the car. He's getting an AI assist. I think that's a wonderful way to, you know, help him with really a deficiency in his skill set. That's you know, not it's almost like a disability in a way, right? It's not really his fault. No matter how much he tries, you know, he can't write as good as me. AI can help him get there. That is amazing.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I guess that the, you know, to take the example of your friend, like one thing that we have had in publishing forever is we've had ghostwriters and we've had editors who go in and effectively almost rewrite. Like it's very typical for a sports person to have a column in the weekly newspaper, but that column is actually written by a journalist who gets on the phone with the sports person and interviews them and then basically writes it up from the first person point of view. And that's not genuine or authentic in the sense that it's not literal, but we all know, like we know that those thoughts are actually the thoughts of the person whose name is at the top. Yeah. When we have a book that's ghostwritten, we know that the person, somebody like Richard Branson or somebody like that, you know, their autobiography was probably ghostwritten, almost certainly, you know. And that's just taken for granted. And so if we're using these tools, is it just the equivalent of that? Is it just the equivalent of hiring a professional ghostwriter?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, there are different standards on that because some people will write a book and it might say, you know, Mark Schaefer with somebody, right? Mm-hmm. That with is the person that helped me write the book or whatever. But you know, you're right. It's just like, you know, being a speechwriter for a politician. The politician gives the speech. That is their speech. There's no other attribution and nobody even really cares. So I think those are meaningful analogies in terms of, you know, the AI assist.
And that's a super analogy, actually, because I think that everybody knows and accepts that the politician certainly did not write that speech. In fact, you know, it's and probably would not claim to have written it either.
Yeah. And usually maybe we would not even want them to write that speech.
Yeah. So then the other issue then is if we do some sort of acknowledgement. And I was talking to Jonathan Stark about this last week, where when you upload a book to KDP now, so first of all, Amazon KDP, they now limit you to a mere 3 books a day in terms of publishing, because people were abusing that by publishing 30, 40, 50 books a day, which you can imagine what the quality of those is going to be like. But one of the questions that it asks you is, did you use AI assistance? Now, we don't know what they do with your book if you tick yes. So
I just went through that. Like I said, the third edition of this new book, literally it went live like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And so, and I self-published through KDP, and I said, oh, what does this mean? And I could, you know, very, you know, ethically say, no, I didn't use AI. But what is the implication? I don't know. Yeah.
Do we get penalized in the algorithm if we admit to using AI? You know, and Then there's the intellectual property issues of, well, if the AI was trained on somebody's private, somebody's proprietary data and copyrighted materials without permission, and then I use that, even if it didn't end up, you know, chaining any of the same words together, my new book could now be a, you know, could now be compromised in some way. You know, in terms of copyright. And then the other thing is with the US rulings, and it's not the same here in Europe at the moment, but the US rulings that AI generated content isn't protected by copyright. Like, does that, if I give it a blog post that I've written by hand and then ask it to, you know, correct spelling and grammar, does that now apply? You know, does the output, which just has spelling and grammar corrected, is that now no longer protected by copyright? There's all of those IP issues as well. So really, there's so many different issues here. I think it's fascinating and so problematic.
I think this is actually going to be resolved. And I think it could be resolved by the end of this year. And here's why. So going back to, I mentioned Walter Isaacson wrote the Leonardo da Vinci book, which is a beautiful book, lovely, lovely book. And so I read this book and learned that almost all of, I mean, da Vinci is arguably the most creative person who's ever lived. And almost all of his creativity was a collaboration. So, I mean, even in his early days when he was learning painting, he would go to a friend and say, hey, you know what? You're really good at animals. Could you come over and do this animal? His most famous drawing, the Vitruvian Man, which is the human body circumscribed with a circle. You know, he was a popular guy. He loved to have people around him. And a friend of him said, you know, I was looking at these ancient manuscripts from Rome, and there was this guy named Vitruvius, and he had this idea. And so they're talking about it, and then another guy said, yeah, it would probably go like this. They kind of drew a little drawing. Leonardo said, oh, that's really interesting. Let me take a look at that. And then he went back and found the original Vitruvian manuscripts and eventually drew his own drawing, which is beautiful and elegant in its own way. But there were four different people involved in that drawing. So all art is iteration. I mean, everything I write somewhere in my brain, it's an iteration. It's building on something. And we have to acknowledge that, I think it was Picasso that said, you know, good art is borrowing, great art is stealing. And art builds and builds and builds and builds. There's no way around it. Now, you can go to sites today and find photographs and different resources that you can use that are license free. So why can't we create art and photos and text passages that are verified content copyright okay, license, you know, license free? You said yourself, you know, the way these models work is they scramble up these words based on some algorithm. You know, is there any way really to tell? Is there a way you can scramble the pixels and scramble the words so much that, you know, it passes some test to say, look, this is just an iteration of the world. It's you know, it's okay. You know, there's got to be, someone's got to come up with an AI site that like scrambles it so much that you're going to be fine, you know, to use it. Or, you know, another idea I had, which I'm going to be writing about, is, so, you know, you're creating content, you know, I'm creating content. We have all these writers out there who've done thousands and thousands and thousands of blog posts and books. What if we said, go ahead and use it? We're a guild. You pay us a monthly fee and you can use all our content. We don't care where it goes. I would be perfectly happy with that. 100% happy with that. So I do think there's got to be some solution. There's money to be made here. So I do think that this there will be a solution. I think even by the end of the year.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think they're that. Well, one thing I think that they are doing now is they're getting a lot more careful about what data sets that they are training these models on, and they're starting to, to license. They've made licensing deals with some authors already about using particular works. So I think that will be something that will be addressed. But it's still something that, you know, it's still something that I think about when I generate some text, particularly if you ask it to write like somebody else. Like, for example, I don't know if your books are in there, but if your books were used in the training data, I could ask, you know, I could ask write a blog post on this topic as if Mark Schaefer wrote it, you know, and that
could, I don't know if my books are in there, but my blog posts certainly.
Your blog posts certainly are. Yeah. So, you know, it'll do a good job of cloning your voice in text and trying to clone your ideas. Now, right. Usually what it ends up doing is doing it in a very cliched kind of stereotyped way, which as somebody Irish, it's unfortunate because I can never ask for anything with Irish because it goes into the top of the morning and bigara kind of stuff, which is, abhorrent to most of us from Ireland. But the real Hollywood Irish. But, when you can get it to write in a certain voice. So I think it's going to be interesting to see where that develops. The other thing I want to ask you about, because like to me, you are the personal branding guy. Like that's the flag that you own in my head. I don't know if that's the one you want, but I'm just really interested in knowing what your thinking is in terms of how we build a personal brand and like, is it now more important than ever? Like, what do you think about personal brand in the age of AI?
When ChatGPT was announced, I tried it right away and was just blown away. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing, that we had artificial intelligence available to the public in a form that was easy to use as Google. So I called up a friend of mine. He's a very famous tech analyst, Shelley Palmer. I said, Shelley, you know, I got to know, just, you know, what'd you think about this? And he said, Mark, I'm absolutely terrified. He said, I have blogged nearly every day of my life for 15 years. And I asked this thing to write a blog post about a certain very specific subject in the voice of Shelley Palmer, and it did a perfect job in 3 seconds. I am 80% replaced. Now, on the surface, that does seem terrifying. But the more important question is, what's the 20% that's not replaced? And that is the personal brand. And as far as I know, this is the only defense we have. If you are known, if you are trusted, if you are beloved in your field, you're going to be okay. Everybody's going to still read Shelley's blog. They're going to still hire Shelley to speak. He has nothing to worry about because he's known in his field. He's done the work. I mean, I am immersed in AI. I'm studying AI, but I'm not really worried. You know, I don't think people are going to unsubscribe to my blog because, you know, they're going to be reading AI instead. I don't think people will not buy a book because they'd rather read an AI book instead. People are going to come to me because I'm known, because they trust me and they might even love me. And especially, Alistair, in this world of deep fakes and just, you know, my head is actually spinning. I looked at some demos this morning about some things that AI can do. That it's just unbelievable how fast and how accurately these things can duplicate you, can duplicate your image and your voice and make a video of you doing anything, saying anything, at almost no cost, at almost no time. So to be the person that the world will turn to in a certain area on a certain subject, that's more important than ever, In fact, it's the only thing we've got left to defend our skill sets and our careers from AI.
Do you have any specific advice for people who want to do that, who want to build that personal brand?
Start now. I mean, because it takes time. It's not a hockey stick type of process. It's a slow and steady kind of process. So you need to start now. And I know I'm coming on here as the guest of your show. I appreciate it. I don't want to sell from the stage and be salesy, but
no, please do.
I did write the best-selling book on the subject called Known. As I look back at my career, I would say that at least so far, that's probably been my biggest contribution to the business world is that book, because every single week somebody sends me a note and says, this book changed my life or changed my business. I did the work. I did the research. The process in the book really works. I also teach a class through Maven on personal branding. It's, six sessions over 3 weeks plus 2 one-on-one sessions with me, which, failure is not an option. We got to do this. We got to get this right. So, I mean, follow the process in the book. It absolutely works. It's helped hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people, and just start. And don't give up. The biggest problem is people get disheartened; they give up too soon. So you've got to show up in the world and be consistent. Consistency is more important than genius.
Thanks, and You talk about selling from the stage, but I have no problem with recommending that book and all of your books, in fact, and I have them here somewhere, not to hand, but I know that Known is probably near my desk somewhere.
Okay, so. It's over my shoulder here, so.
There you go. Mark, what about the future? Are you disheartened by what's happening with AI, or are you positive? Are you cautious? How are you feeling about it?
Well, I'm the same as everybody else. They say, hey, I'm super excited. I'm super terrified. we talked about writing and we talked about thought leadership. And, the fact is that these systems are becoming better and better and better and at really a geometric kind of rate. And while I use this example of my friend who's a genius but can't write, that's wonderful for him. But for someone like me, it's like now I'm competing with unearned talent, right? I mean, I've been honing my craft for, almost 50 years. I mean, I had my first paid writing job when I was 16 years old. And I studied and I had editors and I suffered for my craft, and now it's being replaced by anybody. In many ways, it gets better and better. I think I'm really, really worried about how it's going to replace entry level jobs. I mean, how did I get to be good at what I do today? I'm a consultant. I'm a teacher. I'm an author. It's because I had little jobs along the way, and I had great bosses and great teachers. And I recently read an article in the Wall Street Journal that said kids coming out of college today have to be prepared to operate at like a middle manager position because a lot of the entry-level jobs are going away. Well, how's that going to work? How's that going to work? Just leave school and be ready to operate at a middle level position. So, that's a concern. And probably the biggest concern is, the deep fakes, which really could create an existential crisis for companies, for governments, for security, and for us as individuals. Any of us could be copied, have our images, our likenesses hijacked for nefarious purposes, and that's going to be a tough part of our world from now on.
Yeah, I agree with you. On the positive side, what are you really looking forward to? Is there anything that you think it's amazing? I'm going to be able to do this.
Oh, you know, it's the thing that I'm really excited about is the part of my world that is most inefficient for me is this gray area between things I can absolutely delegate and administrative work that I really can't because it has to be me. Mm-hmm. Right. So let's say I'm going to be giving a speech in Ireland, and the sponsors of the speech say, "Hey, could you do a little, you know, do a little post for our magazine?" Right. Well, I can't really delegate that. I mean, I can't really do that, you know, but could I get some help from AI? You know, I'm kind of excited about Microsoft Copilot. You know, could this fill in the gaps to like help me make my, I mean, you know, when I create a speech, it's a very personal thing. I can't really delegate my slides, right? It's my stories that I want to tell in a certain way. You know, could Copilot learn how to be me? If they see how I create my slides and they know, you know, how I pace things and they know the fonts I use. So, I mean, I haven't been using Copilot yet because the earlier reviews have been kind of meh. But that is the intersection, that gray area. If it could fill in that gray area for me, that would change my life.
Okay, I love it. We'll end on a positive note. Actually, I do have one other question because I know you're kind of deep in testing things. Are there any AI tools that you'd recommend that I go check out that I mightn't have heard of?
Well, I really don't spend a lot of time testing things. I have, I'm lucky. I have a marketing community called Rise. And in that community, we've got lots of people testing things. And then they'll say, this is the one we need to focus on. And so then I'll kind of, you know, go into that. I use, Midjourney for images. It's really just become revolutionary of how good it is and how simple the prompts can be to create something, you know, quite stunning. So I'm kind of a Midjourney sort of guy for now. I was using Perplexity a lot because Perplexity gives you the sources. So it's not this tangled up group of words. It actually shows you this is where it's coming from. So, you know, as an author, I want to know, I want to go to those sources and I want to have links to those sources. So Perplexity has been really my go-to. As I said, I mentioned, you know, Claude 3, I find is doing a much better job with the flow of the writing. I've been using BuzzSumo has a very interesting tool that will help you do a creative brief. So it doesn't write something for you, but I'll say, well, I want to write something on this topic. And it'll say, well, if you're going to write something on this topic, here are the three subjects you should probably cover. And here are the most popular sources for those three subjects. And so I've tried that a few times. And the blog posts have come out great because there's so much depth there in these resources that the brief is recommending. And that just, you know, it saves me a lot of work and also assures a certain level of thoroughness that would save me a lot of time. So yeah, off the top of my head, those are the ones I've been using the most.
Yeah, and I agree. Like Perplexity has replaced Google for me. I do most of my searches first in Perplexity, and I love the sources, and I particularly love Claude 3, the writing. I use it if I do want to write something where I want to actually be able to use the text directly, then Claude is definitely my go-to, far superior to ChatGPT in my opinion. And maybe that's just depending on writing style. You know, other people have told me that they prefer what ChatGPT is producing. The BuzzSumo brief generator is the last one that you were talking about there. That looks really interesting. I have to check that out.
I think that might be behind a paywall. I think BuzzSumo, they might have a free version, but the brief generator is sort of in beta with them right now. But it's worked pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Mark, I've taken up enough of your time. Thank you so much for joining me. You are the author of Marketing Rebellion Known, Cumulative Advantage, The Content Code, Social Media Explained, the Tao Twitter, Born to Blog, Return on Influence. And what was the latest one?
Belonging to the Brand, Why Community is the Last Great Marketing Strategy.
Yeah, I think we can safely say that you are a thought leader. So thank you so much, Mark. Where can people find you if they want to learn more?
Super easy. You don't have to remember my name or how to spell it. All you have to remember is Businesses Grow. If you can remember Businesses Grow, businessesgrow.com, then you can find me, my blog, my books, my podcast, all my social connections. I follow everybody back on LinkedIn. So I would love to hear from your audience and keep in touch.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into the AI-powered thought leader. This show depends on your reviews, and we'd greatly appreciate it if you could take a moment to rate and review our show in your podcast app. Your support means we can keep bringing you more of this great content.